Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, hour two, we bring Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider himself, into the show on the John Shustakoa Banker Hotline. I hope at some point we will definitively be able to have that open and it say J.J. McCarthy. I never wanted to say Aaron Rodgers. But Matthew, I appreciate your time tonight. What have you made of the news this morning that came out that said the Vikings were not, at this particular point, pursuing Aaron Rodgers to be a quarterback on this team, and that they look at JJ as the guy right now?
Well, I think that the Vikings were very legitimately considering Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers really wants to be a Minnesota Viking. And why wouldn't he? Because of Justin Jefferson, Kevin O'Connell, the offense. And you could see a world where he would play better than he did last year and they would be a serious contender. And you can invent that in your head. What was always hard for me is that Aaron Rodgers hasn't played really great football since 2021. And if you are playing him and you win 10 games and get eliminated in the first round, like, what was the point? If you play J.J. McCarthy and you win 10 games, then you're like on your way as a franchise, right? And there's also a world where McCarthy, who is totally unproven, doesn't play well. But at least you find out what you have. You start that process of figuring out what do we have with the 10th overall draft pick that they invested last year. So it never quite really made a lot of sense to me, but I think that it does show us some indication that they're not sure with McCarthy, which I understand, right? I mean, the guy's coming off an injury, and he lost all that weight that we talked about a bunch of times, and I think teams are always afraid of that uncertainty, and you never truly know what someone's going to be like when they become QB1 until it actually happens, because I say this all the time, you cannot predict the pressure, the frustration, the criticism, the pain that goes with it. You know, people watch that Netflix with Kirk Cousins. Do you see what that guy went through on a single season? That's what every quarterback goes through every single year, and you can't know how they're going to deal with it until they're actually there, which I think scares franchises, it scares coaches. But ultimately, it appears to me, at least for now, to be the right decision to have J.J. McCarthy as the quarterback.
All right, so I'll give you that, and I'm with you on that in terms of J.J. McCarthy and not knowing what you have, right? I totally get that. But my question would be then this. What are they scared of with regards to Aaron Rodgers specifically? J.J. McCarthy aside, what is the holdup with them looking at him specifically?
Like, do you mean, like, why wouldn't they do it? Is that what you
like,
mean?
Like, why wouldn't they, or why is it taking so long for them to assess Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that why they wouldn't do it is because if you sign up for Aaron Rodgers, your franchise becomes about Aaron Rodgers. You also become a political statement. I mean, like it or not, it's true that he has become a political figure and the most talked about, controversial, if you will, person in the NFL, and you better be ready for that because this is a team that has enjoyed being under the radar. It's enjoyed Kevin O'Connell's culture, and it enjoyed Sam Darnold and how quiet he was last year, right? He was a no-drama player. He never came out and called out the Jets or called out his teammates. I think, the local folks like myself got a little bored interviewing Sam Darnold. Oh, we would never be bored interviewing Aaron Rodgers. So I also think that they would want to look really closely at his performance last year. What has he got? How would it fit? But more than anything, I think it's just the conversation that goes on inside the building, because I would guess that they're pretty split inside the building. You have an ownership that has to be considered. You have a general manager's opinion. You have a head coach. You have a coaching staff, all those things. And everybody's got to be heard in this collaborative effort before you make a decision. And it seems like they ultimately settled on not inviting the circus to town for Aaron Rodgers. But I do think that their interest in Sam Darnold potentially coming back, wanting Daniel Jones to potentially be here, and now Aaron Rodgers, it really does tell you that they are not sitting here with J.J. McCarthy saying, oh, yeah, this is we're ready to go. This is our next big superstar. They are at least somewhat nervous, and I think that's partly because they won 14 games last year. And when you set the bar that high and sign all these free agents, I mean, you have to consider, like, does it make sense to have someone who's completely unproven, or would we prefer a veteran quarterback who can get the most out of this roster right away? So those are pretty intense debates, I would imagine, inside the rooms.
Yeah, we're talking to Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. And, you know, I'm of the mindset that if there's a split in the organization about bringing him in, you don't bring him in. That's just the way that I view it. I think that when you're talking about somebody who has the ability to really create a lot of friction and drama and chaos and a circus with your football team, at this particular point, I just don't want to see that happen, especially around a J.J. McCarthy who needs to learn, who needs to get on the field, who needs to show us what he has. And then on top of that, you know, I really applaud, and I talked about this earlier in the show, Cam Hayward from the Pittsburgh Steelers coming out in the media yesterday and saying, look, man, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. Like, we're not going to sit around for you with darkness retreats and all this other stuff, whatever. Do you want to be here or not? Because we're not going to wait around all day for you. I applaud him for that, because I'm glad that he said that, because I think that more people should step up and say, look, do you want to be a part of a team or not? And I've basically had that thought process ever since back when I was interning with the Timberwolves, and the situation came up with Stephon Marbury. And Stephon Marbury was talking about wanting more money, and the Timberwolves just in that particular moment didn't have the amount of money that he wanted to get out of the organization. And I just, from then on, has always been the type of person that looks at star players and say, look, man, at the end of the day, I get it. If this is not the right situation for you, then let's try to move you out. Sam Cassell, member of the Wolves, they moved him to the LA Clippers. So I'm not really on board on trying to just coddle guys forever and a day.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason why Aaron Rodgers is probably not sold on the Pittsburgh Steelers is because he wants to be a Minnesota Viking. And he might very well just sit there and say, all right, well, let's let the Vikings see this kid through, you know, OTAs, let's let them see him through minicamp, and maybe I'll see if the Vikings come back and knock at my door. And that is what I took away from the reporting today, was, well, it did seem fairly definitive that it's not happening right now, and that I can, you know, maybe leave the house this weekend or something if I want to, unlike the last few days when we were on Rodgers' watch. But if they are really concerned about J.J. McCarthy after they see him in the offseason program, they might circle back to it. And I think Aaron Rodgers wants to wait on that. Here's what he also knows, is that someone's going to need a quarterback. And, you know, you're right that you could say, hey, do you want to be here or not? But if you're Rodgers and you're aware that someone will get desperate at some point, you could pull a Favre. And it is incredible how much this man has become Brett Favre. But you can pull a Favre. And I think it was Mike Florio, who loves to, you know, poke the bear all the time. I think he said, well, it was, you know, August 18th when Favre arrived in 09. And I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers is well aware of that date as well. So I think if you're in Rodgers' position, you don't have to play. You know, I mean, you could retire. You could walk away from the game if you want to. I don't think he wants to, but he can just wait and see how things play out throughout the rest of the offseason before he decides whether he wants to do this or not. Because who are the Steelers starting? Mason Rudolph? Oh, no, you can wait, right? Who are the Giants starting if they don't draft Shedeur Sanders? Tommy DeVito? He can wait. You know, I think that's his. I think that's the way he would look at it.
But now, let me ask you this: do you think it's Minnesota or Pittsburgh or retirement? Because I think that if, let's take Minnesota aside, take them off the board. If he doesn't go to Pittsburgh, I think he retires. Like, why would you go to the Giants? Like, you're not going to win anything with the Giants right now. That's a bad situation.
Right, and that division is an absolute monster, and he's going to get killed, and they still don't have an offensive line or anything there. Yeah, I don't think he wants to go to the Giants. Their coach is probably going to get fired next year. With the Steelers, you could see him having success throwing to their wide receivers. It's a good division. It's a well-coached football team that has just been without a quarterback for the last few years. And if it's the Vikings, you know, he knows that they could compete for a Super Bowl, or at least in his mind. I don't think so. But in his mind, he would say, well, if they only had me, they'd be competing for a Super Bowl. So I think, yeah, I think he can wait and decide and see which one of those teams really wants him. And I think, of course, he's going to want to be wined and dined, wooed and begged to come and play the same way that Brett Favre was. But you know, I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out, because maybe the Steelers draft like a Jackson Dart or something and then decide, do they think he's ready like to start before they do the Rodgers thing. So as much as I wish that this Aaron Rodgers conversation was just completely out of the discussion, it was over, it was finished, I wish that was the case, because I am so freaking sick of talking about this guy. I mean, how about somebody with 13 wins in his last 34 starts since 2021, and yet he dominates every single conversation? It's like, I have just had enough of this, and hopefully it is over. I think it's kind of over here for now, but hopefully it's over.
All right, so Matthew Collar, let's take Aaron Rodgers out of the conversation. They still have to address quarterback. Like, is there a name out there that you're intrigued by?
Yeah, I mean, so there's less than there were, because a lot of the guys signed to different places. The one name that has come up that catches my ear a little bit is Carson Wentz, and every time you bring up any of these guys, no one's ever going to like it. Well, Carson Wentz, isn't that great? Nobody's that great, man. Like, that's if they could go out and get a great backup quarterback, but there's really no such thing in the NFL as a great backup quarterback. What I like about Wentz is that he played for the Rams recently, so he knows the offense. He's won games in the NFL before, and even the seasons that – like the season there was a disaster for Indianapolis. What did he win, like 9 games or something that year? And they missed the playoffs. But you're still looking for somebody who could come in and play 4 games in the middle of a season or something like that. At this point in the game, you are not looking as a backup quarterback for a starter for this year. J.J. McCarthy is your starter for this year. You're looking for someone who has been around the block a few times, and it seems to me like with the fact that Wentz has been a backup in multiple spots, that he has kind of taken his medicine and humbled himself a bit from maybe where he was early in his career when he had so much success. So I like that. I don't like the idea of Joe Flacco, because I don't think he could win 2 out of 4 games. It was fun what he did with the Browns 2 years ago, but last year it looked like it was pretty much toast from him. And aside from that, Teddy Bridgewater? Like, I don't dislike the idea. I know there'd be a lot of huge Teddy fans that might want him to start instead, but I think we all understand where Teddy is with his career. I don't know if he would come back here to the same organization because I think he was unhappy with the way that they dealt with some of his contract stuff years ago, but that was Spielman, that was Zimmer, so I don't know. But there's not many names left on the list that you'd get excited about for backup quarterback.
All right, this name I'm going to mention, I'm not in love with it, but as a backup, I mean, because we're talking about backups, what do you think of Jameis?
I do not like that idea at all. Like, that is to me my least favorite idea, because I don't want any person who draws any attention to themselves that is not J.J. McCarthy. I don't want the Jameis show. I don't want, Jameis is doing some video for Barstool Sports where he is funny. Like, I don't want that at all. I want a professional.
You think he's a guy that is an attention grabber? I just think he's goofy.
100%. No, I think he's an attention guy. I think he's an attention guy.
Really?
And I also think he stinks. I think he's terrible. I mean, do I want a quarterback who comes in and throws a million interceptions? Sure, they just had one. His name was Nick Mullins, but he wasn't as funny in interviews. Seriously, he wasn't. Because Nick Mullins wasn't a top draft pick, he's treated differently. Look at them on paper. It's the same exact guy. And Nick Mullins is an A-plus dude behind the scenes and never drew a bit of attention to himself. Yeah, I just don't need all the things that go along with Jameis. I would much prefer just, like, a quiet backup who's going to do his job.
All right, so the final question I got for you, Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, joining us here on the Lake Show. Since we last chatted, Jordan Mason has been signed, or not signed. Well, they gave him a new contract. They gave him some new money, but they traded for him, the backup running back from the San Francisco 49ers. Your thoughts on that?
Love it. I think it's one of their best moves of the offseason. This guy is a beast. A little concerning that he was banged up last year, but it happens. Yep. He crushed the Vikings in that game. He was phenomenal. I mean, he is a tackle-breaking machine. He brings a violence that they've really been lacking in the backfield. I think he can make for a great duo with Aaron Jones, similarly to how Jones had in Green Bay with A.J. Dillon, except for I think Jordan Mason is a better running back. The fact that they have improved their offensive line and now bring in a dude that, hey, it's third and two. Put in Jordan Mason, get a first down. I had the stats. I forget what they were, but I think he converted 60% of the time that they gave him short yardage, which was way better than what the Vikings had last year for any of their running backs. I think they gave up basically nothing to get him and paid basically nothing to have him, and he could end up being a major contributor. And he's an insurance policy too, because if Aaron Jones does get hurt, then you have, you know, a full-time running back who could do the job.
What's the guaranteed money?
I mean, wasn't it only like 2 years, $7 million or something like that? It's very little.
Okay. The thing that is, I'm not concerned. I like the move. I was just kind of concerned about the money per the sample size. Like, you mentioned one of the things that was a little bit concerning, like, but then again, everybody was getting banged up at San Francisco, right? Like, everybody was getting hurt, but him getting hurt and getting nicked up a little bit, you know, bottom line, NFL is you're going to get hurt. Guys are going to get hurt in the National Football League. But we know this. Aaron Jones is probably going to have a game or two where he's going to need to go ahead and take a seat, and hopefully Mason will be able to carry the load.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it as a fairly small price to pay. And when you give Aaron Jones some of his highest touches for last year, that's a lot of on his body. And clearly by how much he was paid, they want him to still be RB1, and he's much more effective in the backfield catching the football. But I think if you look at the other options were pretty rough outside of the draft. I do like the draft options, but when they have so few picks, like, this is how you kind of make up the gap by having so few picks. They get, even today, they signed Rondale Moore as like a young player, a former top draft pick, and then you bring in a guy who's a proven young running back. Like, they've been able to acquire some of these guys, even what they did last year with a younger Jonathan Grenard in his prime but still elevating. They've been able to find ways to not have to rely on draft picks but still get guys who will be multi-year players, which is, I think, what you're really looking for, is somebody who can be good over 2 years, who you could potentially re-sign in the future, that could be a part of your backfield. And I think they got that with Jordan Mason.
Yeah. Hey, Matthew, man, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider, joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a quick break, come back, more Lake Show, before we talk to Randy Meyer from Fox 9 News shortly.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Show. I don't think Chris heard me, but we'll go ahead and play the bite of the night. Let's go ahead and play the bite of the night. This bite of the night is from Michael Grady. He made a comment about a fine for J.B. Bickerstaff from a couple of days ago. He was outspoken about some stuff with his Pistons not getting respect. This is what it sounded like on the broadcast with him and Jim Pete.
Before that, they had a victory over Detroit, and you saw the J.B. Bickerstaff post-game presser.
That was epic. Epic.
Fined $100,000 by the NBA today.
I'm sure he's not paying that.
Here's Jarace Walker. No good on the three.
And that's the bite of the night because of what, Chris?
Well, it was Michael Grady got, as they would say. And there was a story that was out from a satire website. I believe it was NBA Sentel who put it out that said that J.B. Bickerstaff was, you know, fined $100,000, which was indeed not the case. And I guess my point with the bite of the night was Michael Grady is as good as there is out there. There's a reason why he's getting ESPN gigs. But everybody at one point can fall victim to a parody account. And Michael Grady, unfortunately, they got duped. But I guess the point was, no matter how good you are, at one time or another, everybody's going to fall victim to just seeing something that maybe isn't necessarily true.
It happens to the best of us. But it doesn't happen to Randy Meyer from the Fox 9 News. He joins us next year on The Lake Show. And that would be one Randy Meyer from the Fox 9 News. Randy, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Henry. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a question. So I'm currently not in Minneapolis, and I'm wondering, was the storm, with regards to the blizzard that was coming through, I know that Albert Lee and Owatonna and all those places got some stuff, but in the Twin Cities, were we hit at all?
Yeah. No. Zero. Zip.
So was this a swing and a miss?
Well, Mr. Leonard would say that it was accurately predicted as of last night during our 9 and 10 o'clock newscast, when he said it was wobbling to the south, moving at a slightly south. So it's sort of a diagonal line southwest to going northeast. And right through, like, the heart of it would have been through Rochester, La Crosse, kind of a little bit in Eau Claire, but kind of that zone. And, the totals were similar to what they were supposed to be, and the track was good, I guess, according to the meteorologists on staff. Saying last night, he'd be right.
Well, say this to Ian, and say it jokingly, because I'm joking about it. Just tell him Henry Lake said, "I trusted you, Ian. I trusted you, man."
I'll say that. I'll deliver it with feeling. Trust me.
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. There's a little bit of pep in my step. And the reason why I say this is just because right around the corner, and I don't know how you feel as an anchor, but, man, when we start talking about baseball season, I just feel so much better. Like, in my mind, when you get into the NCAA tournament, there's a couple of things that you think about. In the sports world, you think about baseball season is upon us. And then you also know that at the end of the NCAA tournament, which is just starting tomorrow, you've got the Masters. So when you start thinking about golf, you start thinking about baseball, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, spring is here.
Absolutely. I always gauge the home opener, the base Twins home opener, because we are always going, because we're always live down on the plaza down there. And I say it can be 37 or it can be 70. And depending on how that day goes is how I gauge the rest of the spring. We've had some really, really good ones. We've had some stinkers, and that's a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, who knows, right?
Yeah, and the good thing about it is the Twins are going to start on the road in St. Louis, and then they've got a few games before they come back here. But I'm ready to rock and roll, and I'm also ready to get into, like, the playoffs for the Timberwolves, because one of my favorite moments last year was that phenomenal run that they had, and I got a chance to hang out with you and Amy and Kelsey, and we just had a lot of fun over the span of them getting to that Western Conference final. So that was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and it was fun that we hadn't had in how many years, right?
I know. It'd been quite a while, and the fact that we were able to get that far last year, and quite frankly, it was unexpected, right? Like, the year before, we made the Rudy trade, and everybody's excited. It didn't really work out. The chemistry wasn't there, and then last year, they just came on like gangbusters.
Yeah, I agree. I think, memory serves me, and you probably know more about this than I do. I think when we were sitting in the lobby of a Target Center, I think we were saying that it had been 10 years, wasn't it? 2014, the last time we had any kind of significant playoff action?
Yeah, because that was back when we were talking about, well, to this degree, you know, we've had the play-in stuff, right? But, like, no real success in the postseason. Yes, correct.
Right. Yeah. So, and it was fun. I don't know. What do you make of what's going on right now with that team? Eight straight, then they lose one they should have won. Now tonight they're playing the Pelicans. I haven't checked to see it. I don't know what they're doing tonight, but do you grade this team as high as we had it last year?
No, I don't grade them as high as last year. I'll say this.
Because of
they're
Cat?
Playing better basketball right now because I think that the chemistry is actually starting to form. And I actually think that there are a couple of guys that are really starting to slide into their roles. I think that Dante DiVincenzo is knocking down a bunch of shots because he's comfortable and plus he's healthy. Julius Randle was out for a while. He's healthy. And I think that he's – I don't want to say that he is no longer viewing himself like as a star, but I think that he's more understanding that, look, man, you're coming over here and you've been a big-time player in this league and you've been an all-star, but this is Anthony Edwards' team and you're going to be the either number two or number three. And so – and then I also got to give props to do. Other guys are just playing better. Like Jade McDaniels, the first – part of the season wasn't shooting the basketball well. He has really played well here the last month.
Yeah, I agree. I think we kind of watched this, as you know, we kind of watched this start to happen a month or so ago. Like, you know, we sit on the set and say, is this it? Are they going to gel just in time for playoffs? And if so, it's now or never. Yep. And there were some games where you're going, oh my gosh, this team looks like a beginning of the season team right now. So I'm optimistic. I really am. Because when they need to rally, that team can rally. Now, they'll throw up a stinker like they did the other night. But for the most part, they're a pretty good rally team.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. We're talking to Fox 9 News anchor Randy Meyer here on The Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. I did want to get your take on this before we get into the top headlines on the Fox 9 News tonight. What have you made as a longtime Packers fan this conversation about Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings, because we talked about it a couple times tonight here on the show in the news breaking this morning that the Vikings, they're rolling with J.J. McCarthy. They're not going to entertain any more thoughts of Aaron Rodgers as of right now. But where do you think Aaron Rodgers is in his career? Because I think that there maybe is still something there, but I don't – he's clearly not in his prime. I'm just not sure what he's got left in the tank.
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, that was kind of the when he left Green Bay, that was kind of the thought that we all had in our minds as well. We knew he was still a winning quarterback and still a very, very talented quarterback, but physically speaking, was he still going to be as good? Would he be able to scramble at all? Those kind of things. To answer your question specifically, I was loving the idea of him coming here because the dynamics in the newsroom were incredible for me. The amount of you know what I was heaping on people because the professed hate for Aaron Rodgers all these years and launched in my direction, and to have him here, and I just thought that was going to be the best thing ever. So what I'm reading today disappoints me some, but specifically on his abilities, I think he's the type of quarterback, even at 41 years old. The perfect scenario for him would have been to come in here, play five games, maybe six games, and if JJ is a willing participant in learning from the best, I think that was a really good situation for the Vikings and for JJ McCarthy. The jury's out on McCarthy, as you know. We don't know anything about him and his ability to be QB1 yet. It could be a crapshoot. I will say I got to give Kwesi and Coach O'Connell a lot of credit for building a team this season that should support a young quarterback with a stronger offensive line, and certainly you can't argue with his receiving core. So they're giving him every chance to succeed if he is in fact going to be QB1 right from the gate.
Randy, I love you, but you can't fool me. You want Aaron Rodgers to come in here and you want him to screw up the Minnesota Vikings organization because you're a big-time Packer fan. So I'm not buying this one. I'm just not – like you're not fooling me, bro.
Listen, here's how it goes. At work, I have to maintain an equilibrium I can't. We are the Viking station. At home, it's a different situation.
All right, so Randy, tonight everybody will be watching the Fox 9 news. What will be some of your top headlines?
All right, so, you know, this trial, six-week trial, the Feeding Our Future fraud scandal that hit $250 million was built out of the federal government. Verdicts came down today. There were a lot of charges. In total, almost 30 charges against the two main defendants, Amy Bach and Salim Saeed, guilty on all counts. We don't know. Sentencing is set for a few weeks from now. So, but they did consider them both flight risks. So they both were reprimanded to jail. So that's an interesting element. We don't know what they're going to get. But what we do know is that there's still several more cases, several more people, defendants, and the hunch is that there'll be some pleas now. There'll be some deals made. When they saw these guilty verdicts come in that fast, the presumption is that they're not going to want to take their chances with the jury, and they're going to take what the feds offer them this time around with the remaining defendants. So we'll cover that tonight. And Mike Manzoni is covering the now federal charges against State Senator Eichhorn from up north, charges of enticement of a minor. Those are federal charges, a felony charge. And so we're going to look deeper into that and what occurred there in that sexting operation that he was caught up in. You know, it's I personally feel terrible for the guy's family. He's got a wife and I think four kids.
He's got four kids,
These kind of things are just, they're horrendous for family. And I think most of us were pretty impressed with both parties coming out and saying, you know, while due process is important in this particular, in all cases, this is such an egregious charge that, you know, stepping down from that role as an elected official is warranted. And both parties agree to this. The governor agrees to it. So we'll see if that, in fact, happens moving forward.
Gotcha. Randy, always a pleasure to have you on the show, my man.
Well, listen, I'm glad we had this time together. I was a little concerned not so long ago. So I'm glad we were able to do this.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for checking in on me when it looked like I was done for. But I rose from the dead.
Well, you're never done for. That we talked about. So I'm just glad we're doing it again.
Appreciate it. That's Randy Meyer from the Fox 9 News joining us here on The Lake Show. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we have our version of headlines, and we'll do that next.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we like to follow up the Fox 9 News headlines with our version of headlines. So without any further ado, let's toss it to Christopher Tubbs in the studio so we can dive into headlines tonight.
Sorry about that, H. Just got a few different things going on here. Yeah, let's go ahead and get into headlines, and just trying to find it in my inbox here.
Uh-oh. Malfunction?
No, come on.
Come on, the people are waiting.
I know.
Are eagerly awaiting.
They are very much eagerly awaiting. And did I even send headlines today?
Yes, you did send headlines today.
Did I? So many things that are buried in here.
Okay. Do you want to sing?
I will sing. Yes, I will sing. You know what? Hold on here.
It starts with the Minnesota Democrats.
Yeah, I'm looking. Jeepers. Jeepers creepers. This is crazy. Normally, I have it all ready to go. I know.
This is riveting radio.
This is absolutely riveting radio. You know what? I don't have it. Somehow, it is not in my inbox.
Do you need me to send it to you?
Yeah, send it to me.
All righty.
Send it to me right now. See, this is live radio, you guys.
This is not going to...
This is Marconi award-winning.
The boss is not listening to the show right now.
No, this is Marconi award-winning. I mean, I don't know if...
I don't think that Brad's going to agree.
You don't think so? I mean, if we submit this to...
I just sent it back to you.
Okay. Well, if we submit it to the Marconis, I just don't know why they wouldn't. All right, let's get to it. Hey, Minnesota Democrats blasted the Trump administration's plans to fire upwards of 80,000 Veterans Affairs employees as part of the war on the size of the federal workforce, saying the cuts will rob veterans of the benefits they've earned through their service. Tens of thousands of federal workers, nearly a third of whom are veterans, have been terminated since Trump took office and deputized Musk in his so-called Department of Government Efficiency to slash personnel. It's unclear exactly how many workers have been fired, however, because the Trump administration has not released that information, even to Republicans. Now, the New York Times...
Time out.
Yes.
That in itself is an unacceptable line, that we do not know the exact number of how many veterans were fired. That's just unacceptable.
It really is. And for, you know, an administration that claims to love veterans and the military...
It's not efficiency.
No, and it's not the America First, right? Like the America First thing isn't that loving our veterans and people who protected our country, or am I missing something here?
Yeah, I think we're all missing something.
Yeah, VA and other popular services like Social Security and Medicare were supposed to be largely spared from the first assaults on the federal workforce, including the fork in the road buyout offer and the mass termination. More than 2,000 Veterans Affairs workers have been terminated already. That includes John Heckel, a veteran and former law enforcement officer who recently took a job at the VA with a 40% pay cut from a private sector. But he said he was fired by text message on February 14th while he was at a funeral.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Not good.
No, not at all. Hey, let's go down to the business here, Henry. Americans are cutting back on Doritos, Goldfish, and Hostess cakes, but it's not for their health, because it's another sign that even small indulgences have gotten too expensive for many to afford. In an interview, Vice President at market research firm NIQ, Chris Castalgi, said consumers are cutting back on non-essentials and stretching the value they get out of every dollar. That's hitting snacking. 42% of consumers say that they bought fewer snacks last quarter. They say salty and savory snack categories underperformed the broader packaged food industry, PepsiCo said, citing the cumulative impacts of inflationary pressures and higher borrowing costs on consumer budgets.
So wait, is Christopher Tubbs going to spend more money on Doritos nowadays because of the prices?
I mean, if everybody else is going to spend less, then somebody's got to put these people's kids through college. And if that's got to be me, then I will fall on the sword for some Cool Ranch Doritos if it's for the greater good. You know,
but at what price point are you out? And by the way, I'm not a Goldfish guy.
Goldfish are awful.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not.
No, I am. Goldfish. Goldfish taste like, ugh, they're awful. They're gross. Yeah, they're awful. I mean, it depends on what you're getting. You know, most of the time now with like chips and everything, you're not getting your money's worth. So I don't even buy a lot anyway right now. But you know, we'll see. Hey, and finally, a Hollywood writer director was arrested Tuesday in charges that he swindled $11 million from Netflix for a show that never aired. Carl Eric Rinch, perhaps known for 47 Ronin, has been charged with wire fraud and money laundering after he defrauded Netflix. He wanted $33 million for a show and then said he needed $11 million more, but he ended up using credit cards, gambling, lawyers, furniture, and antiques.
Yeah, he's got a big problem on his hands, I would say. Coming up next, fraternities have a problem that needs to be addressed. We'll get to that next.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.